Off the Ball Rugby.
I just knew when I wasn't in top form, I never felt that because I was Irish out half, I was not allowed playing that game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
It is Who You Got. We usually try to bring you the predict the scores of the Premier League weekend, but there is no Premier League weekend. It's the FA Cup this week. Nathan. A rare appearance for you here on a Friday. Welcome.
Great to be here.
Is he really here, or is it just like a hologram that we've brought in?
I'm not sure.
Have you ever done Who You Got before?
Once upon a time.
But Kathleen's a regular.
Now
of course,
that I've started
Kathleen,
the season a bit better with our predictions, I thought I'd.
A little bit better, yeah. We'll actually see how we got on last week, which wasn't a good one for me, actually. I'd been on a good run, but myself and yourself, Nathan, only got 1 point, as did Kathleen. What was the. Sorry, no, Nathan is a bit higher, is he?
No, I got 1 point. Kathleen got 3 points.
Sorry, 3 points. Okay, so I'm blind, honestly. I can't see that screen. I got Forest wrong, and I got other things wrong too.
I got Forest right was the only one I got right.
There we go. So, bad week, but luckily nobody really took advantage. Shane got one score right. He got the Newcastle 2-1 against Spurs right, which unfortunately was the game we had our bet on, which was to get over 3.5 goals, the charity bet with William Hill on that. There was 2 goals after 5 minutes in that game. 2-1 at half time. We needed 1 goal in the second half. We needed 2 goals for the 85 minutes of the game. And we didn't get it. Spurs decided to start shutting up shop. Haven't conceded a goal since.
Yeah.
Just because we...
It was nailed on as well.
We had a charity bet.
The way the game went, it was absolutely nailed on that it was going to come in, but...
I think we need to start approaching our charity bet differently and think of what we do want to happen every week and bet the opposite of it.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the only way that we're
going to... I think that usually works against you as well, though, because that's when the luck turns.
Yeah.
You start predicting things correctly. Let's have a look at the league table, which is... Will still out on top, stretches lead a little bit. I'm still in second because John and Nathan couldn't really do anything about it. That we were the ones who did badly. And then it's closing up a little bit behind them. Owen, Kathleen, who fought her way back into mid-table at Christmas, still needs to make another move to get higher up. Shane, Jer, Phil, and last year's winner, Colm, still down there at the bottom.
Right, I didn't realise I'd come so far back into the pack.
You had, okay. Yeah, you had a bad Christmas, let's face it. Obviously not watching last week either, you know. We're going to get Leon for a charity bet in a couple of minutes, but we're going to start with the big game of the weekend, the FA Cup weekend. There's a few processions here that we have to talk about, but the big one obviously is Arsenal versus Manchester United on Sunday. There you go, right. So Colm has gone for Arsenal, Owen has gone for... Arsenal to win. Jer, John, Kathleen, myself, all narrow enough wins, and Phil have all gone for Arsenal. The outliers, Nathan, Manchester United to win 2-1. Shane, Manchester United, who predicted Liverpool 6, United 0 last week. He's gone for United to win, and so is Will, all by 2-1. If that's 2-1, we're all in trouble. Nathan, Manchester United to win at the Emirates. Building on their performance last week.
I don't even know if these FA Cup games should be in this competition at all. It's a bit of a nonsense weekend, isn't it? It's very...
I don't know.
Without getting into the old nostalgia thing. And maybe both sides just let loose and we get some crackers in there. But you're looking at Arsenal are playing the North London Derby on Wednesday. There's a full round of Premier League fixtures to come. Do they need... the FA Cup this year? I think they need to have everybody fit and available for Wednesday. The league is their absolute priority, whereas Manchester United, you know, the FA Cup has taken on a greater importance. You'd imagine, having had a full week since the Liverpool game, that Ruben Amorim will have had more time to implement what he's all about. There'll be a bit more confidence coming away from Anfield, and this is the game where they should be able to get towards that level. You'd imagine they should be able to get towards it against Southampton. The test then will be next week when they take on Brighton. But I just think with Arsenal having played Carabao Cup, put out a very strong team in that.
Yeah.
And still with a lot of the injuries to key players, no great form. going to rest a few guys for this, that this is a great opportunity for Manchester United to get a win.
Two counterpoints to that. One, we haven't seen any evidence that United can back up what they've done. That was Amram's. I love that he came out criticising them after the Liverpool game, as opposed to saying, look, we've turned a corner. He's saying, why can't we do this every week? I think that this group of players have had, we've had so many false ons, and it remains to be seen. And then the other counterpoint is, it's Man United. I know that, like, they're taking the League Cup seriously because they're in the semi-final, and that's the way big teams treat cup competitions now. They get to a certain stage and then they say, right, here we go, let's try and win this. So Arsenal wouldn't take the third round too seriously. But you play United at the Emirates, you also almost as a club owe yourself to take that seriously, don't you?
I think Arsenal are going to take it seriously. I do understand what you're saying about the North London Derby coming up and the general run of fixtures, but I think Arsenal do need the FA Cup. I don't think they're going to catch Liverpool, especially with the Saka injury. So, and I'm not saying that Arteta's looking at the rest of the season and going, right, that's it, it's all done. But I do think this FA Cup is going to be important, and going out to United at this stage, especially after the loss this week, that's a terrible week for Arteta, all things considered. And I don't think fans would be particularly happy. And I think it could be third round, it could be final, it could be a friendly game. Arsenal United is always going to carry some sort of importance for the club and some sort of importance for the players. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw quite a strong Arsenal team. And also because it's become a bit of a, like, United have been a bit of a joke the last couple of months especially, but also a bit further beyond than that. So losing to them makes you a bit of a joke as well, and I don't think Arteta will
want that.
I think you're right on that, but I think this could well be the defining week of Arsenal season, that if they were to lose to Manchester United and then not beat Tottenham and they're suddenly out of the title race, they're out of the cup and all their eggs are in the Champions League. And listen, all these teams have a good depth of squad, and on Tuesday, Jesus, Sterling, Mourinho, Jorginho, Calafiori, Kvyat, Zinchenko were all on the bench, so you can bring those players in and you still have a lot of talent there.
Yeah,
it just feels so flat around Arsenal at the moment, and like the FA Cup third round is just not of the same importance as even the Carabao Cup semi-final, because they're so far advanced in that and there's so few opportunities to rest players. Listen, tipping Manchester United any day this season has never been thing to do, but I think this is a great opportunity for United to go to the Emirates and win.
I would have a concern about Spurs. I feel like if they were playing, you know, Leicester on next Wednesday night, we might be talking about a different thing, but the fact that it's Spurs, that's the main event of the week for Arsenal coming up. So there is but then again,
they can't afford to be playing Newcastle, trophies, United, Spurs in a week and looking at those three fixtures and saying, who are we going to rest? I appreciate it's third round FA Cup, it's not the most important fixture in the world, but it's still Man United. It would be a totally different if we were sitting here and they were playing, you know, Accrington Stanley or Tamworth like Spurs and Liverpool are. But it's Manchester United. That is going to carry a massive psychological blow to Arsenal. And I think if Arteta puts out a weak squad on Sunday, I don't know if that's given the right message to the squad either in terms of their year. Like, Arsenal should be the sort of team where they are at the moment that they're able to compete in Carabao Cup, FA Cup, Champions League, and the league itself. And yes, rest players at certain times. But when it comes to those, even though, like, I don't know if you can call United a big team, but like when you come up against those big old foes and those deep rivalries, you're able to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, I agree. And I do also question like how much the result on Tuesday night plays into this. If they had gone and beaten Newcastle 2-0,
I think it would be a different conversation.
It's a, you know, you're basically in Wembley. You're at Wembley. You've got your kind of cup chance. And maybe you say, right, we've got Spurs, this is a big month coming up. Whereas now it's like, you know, they're not out by any means of the Carabao Cup, but it's looking a lot less likely that that's their trophy that they might be able to count on this year. Whereas, like, you know, the FA Cup's a chance. Again, you're playing a strong team to beat Manchester United. It's not one of those ones that you sacrifice.
You might not need a strong team.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not one of those games that you need to sacrifice. Like, right, we've come up City. It's the wrong time. Our players are just bollocks. Maybe we just take this off. We sacrifice. We lose to the Manchester City of last year, and say it's just not the right time for this game. Whereas this is only United. I don't mean that in a historical
United
sense. I mean
should be there
this is
for the
team that is 14th
in
the Premier League at the moment. Like, you know.
Yeah, but Arsenal haven't been past the fourth round in 4 years. Like, yeah. They're getting.
But is that not another issue?
But I think it's because they don't take it particularly seriously that it comes at a very difficult period in the season when you're trying to compete on several different fronts. And like last year, they played Liverpool in the third round and they were beaten. So listen, they'll have a squad of reasonable players out on the pitch, and most of those substitutes, I'd imagine, will start. But like, are you starting Declan Rice and Martin Odegaard? And Arsenal, without the two of them, are a shadow of their best team. Mm. And they've been a shadow of their best team even over the first few weeks. Now, that may still be enough to beat Manchester United, who may not turn up. But I suspect Manchester United will be ready for this, and I think they'll win.
The last thing to say about this, the most important thing, when they played at the Emirates earlier in the year, Manchester United have a third kit this year of all blue, which brings back memories of amazing Arsenal versus Manchester United games from the real era, the real Man United versus Arsenal era. And, you know, that's going to repeat itself, which was the best part of the third round draw, to be honest.
I thought the main thing you're going to say is that United have their own special ball this weekend. So I think that, because it's like a commemorative ball, and the whole thing during the week that Arteta given off about the ball in the Carabao Cup, and it's not the same as the Premier League.
Don't, like, I get in trouble a lot as if I'm some sort of anti-Arsenal person or whatever. I've always really liked Arsenal. I get in trouble a lot for Arteta stuff because I can't stand how petty he can be in terms of the, like, you don't talk about that in an interview. You have to be so far above that. Does he realise he's a manager, that he wants to win a title as a manager here? Does he realise how he has to not get dragged into that sort of nonsense? Every week it's something new with him. Oh, I'm the only one that has injuries.
But managers rarely change.
Oh, the referees don't like me.
Somewhere Owen Shane is jumping in a car from Kerry to go.
Owen, I think, behind it all, and you agree with me on this.
Oh no, the ball thing is absolutely ridiculous. Stuff, like. Absolutely ridiculous. I don't.
But managers rarely change. Like, yeah. If you are a manager who moans and every little incident is something, and it's not necessarily a hugely over the top, say Ferguson, Klopp, even Wenger, it's a sort of constant drumbeat of there's always some sort of an issue. You do question whether it gives the players a little bit of an out.
That's the biggest issue. I don't care if he moans to the media or whatever. My issue is when he's complaining constantly about injuries, he's not saying these things are out of control. What's in our control is who's on the pitch, and we're going to go out next man up, play on. Like, that's like you hear the best managers in world sport. When they're asked about injuries or players they've lost, they go, they'll say, they will avoid talking about the players that are out. And they'll say, we've got who we've got. And they could be going out there with a scattergun squad and they'll say, we've got who we've got enough to win this game. And that's the way you have to have the attitude. Anyway, we're a bit divided on this one, Lee. Lee Phelps from William Hill joins us. I think we are going to go with our charity bet from it, but what's the market saying about this game? Because we're a bit all over the place, to be honest.
Yeah, well, Arsenal are 8-11, so not that short a price. Man United 18-5, and the draw 27-10. Everything that you guys have been talking about, I think, plays into this match. You know, the confidence that Manchester United should have taken from the game at Anfield, but we don't really know, do we? We don't know which Manchester United is going to turn up. If you could trust that same Manchester United to turn up, then the 18-5 looks a good price. The draw 27-10. Arsenal, I mean, given, I think if this game is played, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, these are different prices, but Arsenal have been on the drift. No Saka, of course. I think it's a fascinating one. I've put a bet builder together. I know you guys have got some your own thoughts. I just want to leave the outright result away from it in the bet builder. I've just picked three players who, over the last few weeks, I thought have shown me something that will lend themselves to a bet builder. I've gone for Amad Diallo. I thought he's been a real shining star in the United situation over the last few weeks. Like, you look at him, he has shots in most games. You know, you look at him, how he shone against City, turned up again against Liverpool. You wouldn't be surprised to see if he does it again against Arsenal. So I like him to have at least one shot on target. Kai Havertz is a player who, look, he had an illness recently and came back against Newcastle and wasn't particularly great. If he can get back to that kind of match fitness that he was showing pre the illness, when he scored 2-2 over the Christmas period, I like him to score. And Harry Maguire to be carded. I mean, he's got 6 career cards against Arsenal. He's got 5 already this season. Was booked against Liverpool as well. He seems to be the main man at the moment. He seems to be getting involved in everything, skying him over the bar as well. I mean, luckily he'd have got away with that anyway, I think. But yeah, so they're my three, and they come out about around 16-1 for those three. I think if you can put a booking in there with a goal, you're going to get, you start to bump up your bet builder prices. But what are you guys thinking? I sense there's an edging towards Man United winning this.
Well, what we have, Lee, is 10 of us have picked our scores as we do every week, and 7 have gone for Arsenal. But of the 3 that have gone for United, nobody's gone for a 90-minute draw or anything. Of the 3 that have gone for United, it's all been 2-1. And so there's something telling me, mainly because I'm not one of the 3 and I usually get beaten at this game, that 2-1 to United is an interesting score. We went odds on last week and it didn't work out because Spurs decided to shore it up all of a sudden after 45 minutes.
It felt unlucky. I mean, the first half you're thinking, this is easy. Yeah, it didn't work out, did it? 14-1 for the 2-1 for Manchester United.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that.
The other way of playing, just to be a little safer if you wanted to be, is you could go Manchester United to win and both teams to score, which still covers that, and that's 15-2. That's quite a big price, but you're not having to stick to the 2-1. I mean, I guess you could argue, well, is it going to be 3-1 or 3-2? Seems unlikely, doesn't it? So if you're going to go for a win and both teams score, I guess 2-1 is the most obvious result there. I'm going to leave it to you guys.
Yeah,
I'm just, you've got 14-1 or 15-2.
Will we go with the both teams to score and allow it to be one of the classic 4-3 kind of nonsense? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, 15, we'll go with that.
Manchester United to win, both teams to score.
United have given us our biggest win of the season when they beat City 4-1. When they beat City, so... Yeah, let's go with both teams to score, United to win, and just to annoy Kathleen, who's sitting here with her Arsenal colours on.
I'll be on air on Sunday while the game is on, exactly. So everyone tune in to hear me breaking down.
Yeah. An interesting, Man United have had a really good record in this competition recently, haven't they? They're 16-1 to win the FA Cup, and you can understand the reasons why, but you know, sometimes when teams have a real affinity with the competition, whether they're going through good or bad spells, you know, it's worth looking at them. Obviously, they've got to get past Arsenal. It'll be much shorter if they get past Arsenal. Liverpool and Man City are the joint favourites, by the way, 5-1, both of them to win the FA Cup. Maybe it's the only thing City have got to focus on. Who knows?
And it's interesting, isn't it, when you hear, geez, Manchester United, 16th, that's probably the biggest odds they've ever been for the FA Cup. And then you do have to click your brain back into, oh, remember the Manchester United we saw before last Sunday?
Yeah.
Who, exactly.
Quite rightly, are 14th in the Premier League and have been atrocious.
Do you trust them to win 6 games in a row here? Like, yeah. What kind of interest is there in the FA Cup from your guys' point of view, Lee? Because I think people are so tuned in to the Premier League week on, week on, that sometimes the FA Cup, like it does for us a little bit when we're making these picks, throws us a bit.
Yeah, because I think it's kind of been disregarded by some of the bigger teams. It's hard to, when you're talking about it from a betting perspective, same with the League Cup in a lot of the early stages, you want to know what the teams are before you put your money down, don't you? You want to know that, you know, Tottenham are going to field a good team at Tamworth, or Liverpool are going to field something recognisable against Accrington. They don't need to, of course, but what it means is you have to really wait and see who's playing. I think you're either split in two camps on the FA Cup third round weekend. You either look at all those short price Premier League favourites, home and away, and you put them all in an acca and you try and boost it, or you look for the banana skins, don't you? I think that's the other way of doing it. And look where we can find some of the upsets. I was looking down the other day, and there's a couple that, look, I'm not saying they are. I mean, Reading are a decent home team. They're playing at home against Burnley. Burnley are 1-2. Do Burnley want to concentrate more on a promotion push than they do the FA Cup? If you see Burnley weakening down ahead of this game, I think Reading are an interesting bet. The 5-1 at home, Reading, which I think is interesting enough. I'm not going to go down the route of thinking Salford could go to City and win. Although City are 1-16, and you look at the likes of Liverpool, and they're kind of 1-20, 1-25. But that'll be a cracking match. But yeah, that's probably the one I'd pick out. Reading at home to Burnley, if it's a weakened side. But yeah, that's half the fun, is looking down that list and trying to find just a team or two who might just spring an upset. There's probably a few in there.
All right, Lee, thanks very much. The worst part about this segment, by the way, is that for about the third time this season, I have to go home and shout for Manchester United all weekend now, which is... No non-United fan wants to be in that position. Thanks a million, Lee. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Who you got, of course, is in association with William Hill. Remember, you must be over 18 and visit gamblingcare.ie for more info. Okay, what have we got next? We have three more games. We're going to rattle through them here because it is FA Cup, like, as suggested here by Liverpool versus Accrington Stanley. Not much variation in how we're going. Everybody for Liverpool, 4-0s, 5-0s, 6-0s. You've gone 6-0 there, Kathleen, have you?
Yeah.
Big one.
I don't know. I was just like, this is my weekend to throw in a big result.
It's throwing a dart at a board for these games, isn't it? Like, there's literally no way of knowing how the game's going to go. Like,
and I think that's the case for even a lot of the games between closer ranked teams, Premier League and Championship and League One, because unfortunately a lot of Championship teams use this as an opportunity to rest players as well. So where, listen, the demises of the FA Cup has been spoken about so much over the last 20 years, but I think at least you would have gone, well, wow, the team that are second in League One might be able to do something against the Premier League team because of the form they're in, but actually they end up often just taking their beating. And it was interesting, we had Seamus Keneally on, the Accrington Stanley captain, during the week talking about the loss of form they had after the draw was made. Mm. And we're going to talk about Tamworth as well, who are playing Spurs. And like, Tamworth have one win in seven since the draw was made. Like, their form has gone completely. That actually the anticipation and the knowing that this is probably the biggest game you're ever going to play in, these players mentally aren't prepared for that sort of challenge. And it's not just like Arsenal, Manchester United, whereas if Mikel Merino comes in for a rare start, like, you know, he's played in some of the biggest games in world football.
Yeah.
He's ready for it. He's comfortable for it. And actually the stuff that goes on around all this is so big for these players, and the gap has become so great.
Yeah.
It does feel it's almost impossible to predict.
And like, that is a much bigger issue. But even outside of that, you have just game flow issues with the way things. There's a massive gulf in class between these teams, but sometimes you miss a couple of chances early, your stall is set up and it doesn't break, and the momentum is gained for that. The other team panics, doesn't play as well, and it ends up being 1-0, or they get a shock result or whatever. Whereas score a couple of goals early, nothing's really been that different, and suddenly you're saying, is it going to be 5, 6 or 7? You know, and it's just that there's just no way of predicting. So we've all gone for Liverpool to win fairly comfortably with what we imagine will be a strongly second team, you would say, isn't it? Do they have enough players in the back for them to...
They do, but the one other thing that's slightly changed, and maybe I'm contradicting myself from what I said about Arsenal, is often
don't play second teams anymore.
Well, they play... Liverpool will definitely make a lot of changes because they played Wednesday night, and again, they're going to Forest then on Tuesday night. So they're going to have some sort of rotation. But often now, what you hear from the strength and conditioning side is players like a run out. So, don't be surprised if Mo Salah plays for 20 minutes at the end of this game, or several of the first choice players. But like, Liverpool's second string at the moment is still probably going to mean they start with a front three of Harvey Elliott, Luis Diaz and Darwin Nunez.
Yeah. That's at this time, because you hear that a lot in the early rounds of the League Cup. You're wondering, why is that team? This is basically a loading thing that they need two games a week at that time of year. I don't know if it's the case in January.
No, but it's definitely gone that sort of basketball route. The players are, their body, they're not training, so they go and they hit certain markers when they get out onto the pitch. Now, Salah, you'd have to assume they give him, like, it'd be insanity not to give him and Van Dijk and McAllister, the players who are playing international football, the weekend off, and just trust that, you know, Endo can come in and playing in that holding midfield role. Some of them will probably have to start. They probably just don't have enough depth. You'd expect Conor Bradley should start again.
We'll see Queevy.
So with a team like Liverpool as well, it's possibly no harm, considering the majority, or the fact that they have way more goal scorers than the majority of other teams in that top tier.
Yeah.
Like, if Salah goes out and plays 20 minutes, gets a hat-trick, I mean, that's going to boost everyone's confidence going into the rest of the week as well. Mm. So you have that side of things.
Yeah, it's funny. Liverpool would be the team, I think we've been talking about their attacking options all year. They'd be the team I'd nearly be least concerned about in terms of like possible FA Cup issues. Yeah, this is, Ardon Stanley are obviously a level below, like they, you know, that there's no issue there at Anfield, but even if they were playing a strong championship team or whatever, you'd kind of say that their strength and depth would get them over the line. Mm. We go on to that Spurs game, Spurs Tamworth. This is a little bit more interesting, I always find, because it's in the provincial ground or whatever, however would they describe it in England.
They don't have space in the changing rooms for all of Spurs'
team. Always funny,
just even,
you know,
the actual team itself, never mind managers and strength and conditioning and everyone else that comes along.
Spurs seem to always be at somewhere like this in the third round of the cup, like Morecambe, or remember they played on like a five-a-side pitch there 1 year?
Newport.
Remember they had the cages around the pitch? I don't think that was Newport, but yeah. So Spurs seem to be always there. They're well equipped with... Son has played in many, many grounds around the country over his years at Tottenham. We've all gone Spurs here, unsurprisingly. A few tighter results, though, a few kind of like 3-2s and 2-1s and so on. A lot of people fancy Tamworth to score. I think Shane Comfort, am I blind, or has Shane gone 7-0 there?
7-0,
yeah. Which kind of belies what I've been saying. But most of us have gone for a more tight result. Any issues we see for Spurs here? I kind of, even though it's going to be a different team out there, I'm kind of interested to see, will they keep a clean sheet? Will this sort of sudden change up in Spurs mentality that's happened for the last game and a half that they've played, whether it'll continue into the third competition?
I don't... This is the thing with Spurs, is that it's always very hard to predict what they will do. I mean, I kind of based my result on the inconsistency that they've shown, in that I think if they get a couple of early goals, they will just sit back. I don't think they'll search for that 7-0 absolute hammering. I think they'll use it more as an experimental game. But I also think we've seen that they have such a looseness in that defence at times, that I wouldn't be that's why I've given Tamworth the opportunity to score a goal, because I wouldn't be surprised if they got a quick counter attack and Spurs were just all at odds with themselves, stumbling over their own feet, and they managed to get one.
What level are Tamworth?
Those are their goalkeeping situation.
National League. And as I say,
and struggling,
no form at all. You know, they went through, I think, they beat Burton on penalties to qualify, and their form has been atrocious since then. And I think we'll be talking about Mikey Moore by the end of this weekend again. Like, we haven't seen a lot of him this season, but you'd expect this is the sort of game he'll start, and, you know, still very young and can probably run them ragged. Like, Tottenham have so many injuries. Where do they go defensively? Is this actually an opportunity to say to the four defenders who played the last night and are going to play in the North London Derby and say, listen, you're not going to physically have to stress yourselves too much.
Get an understanding.
Yeah. You go with the goalkeeper again instead of bringing back in last week's goalkeeper, and you sort of try and have some level of cohesion amongst them? Or is it a case, again, that there's just so many matches and they've so many injuries they can't risk putting any of them out, because there's obviously something going on in the club, that there's so many hamstring injuries and so many soft tissue injuries?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you've sold an interest in that. I think we should have done the fake Manchester derby between City and Salford. That wasn't my decision. What is our last game, though?
Forest
and Luton. Right. So everybody's gone for a Forest win here, except for myself and Ger. I've gone for Forest to win after extra time and won all 90 minutes. And he's gone for Luton to win on penalties.
I'm curious about your thoughts behind this.
So I went against Forest last week in not even in not believing them way, but in a kind of a Wolves were at home. They've had a bit of form, and I just feel like winning streaks don't last forever. So they've now won 6 Premier League games in a row, and you just sort of, the law of large numbers would suggest that. Now, I do think Forest will, of all teams, sitting third, virtually, you know, second to only behind, only on goal difference in the table at this stage of the season, is bananas for them. They have to have serious thoughts now about Champions League qualification. They'll never be in this position again. The FA Cup is not going to be on their radar. It's one of the few times where I actually agree with that decision. Usually I think that teams are throwing at you 14th in the league and it's like, oh, we're not going to take the FA Cup seriously. It's like, what are you playing the game for? In this case, this is a right decision. They will completely change their squad. Have we seen enough in Forest to know that even though they've millions of players, that depth is strong enough? Luton are a decent side. decent championship level. They're not playing as well, obviously, as the team that we thought might even stay up last year. They have struggled in their return. They've lost a few players, obviously. Just think this isn't going to be in Forrest's radar at all. And I still ultimately think they'll come true. They'll show their talent. They'll bring on a couple of players. They'll win. I just have this feeling that they might struggle.
Do you think there's anything to it where they're playing someone that is more what we would expect to be of their level, if you know what I mean? Obviously, they're a lot better than Luton in that they were decent team, but like, is there anything in that, or are you?
That's what I went for last week. Was actually, I don't think there's actually as much between these two teams, Wolves at home especially, who started the season poorly, versus Forest, who started the season amazingly. I think there's, in more reality, there's probably about 5 or 6 places in the Premier League between them. So I thought that that might drag Forest into it a bit, as opposed to being up for Anfield, being up for Man United. And it didn't work out. They won 3-0. They were brilliant. They're a great team.
But does that one game change? Because last week you were very much of the opinion that they were going to slide out of those European spots, and that they shouldn't be focusing too much on that.
I thought that was a real... You go on a Monday, end of the week, you know where you are, and you go away to a team who have a new manager who've been playing very well. And obviously they were missing their best player, suspended, but they still went out and won 3-0.
But is it a game that you then
it makes me think twice about them.
Focus on Champions League.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they want to get thrown out of the cup, but I just think they'll put out
second. This is a terrible game. In a way, I don't know why we're talking about it, because it's everything that's wrong with the cup, in a way, because Forest have to make changes. I think like Forest have been brilliant, and watching them on Monday night, I love these teams where you look at somebody like Chris Wood and Morgan Gibbs-White, and you're going, that's how good they are. Sometimes you sort of take these guys, like they didn't make it at the biggest clubs, or they're good championship players, and then they're backboned by two centre halves who could definitely be playing Champions League next season regardless. But they don't want this game, and Luton have just sacked their manager. They are basically in a crisis from where they were, you know, this time 12 months ago, where they were really starting to believe that they had the quality to stay in the Premier League. They don't need this game either.
They're going to a team who are the toast of the nation and are constantly being talked about, and they go and get a result in this, that could kickstart their season. It is a bit different for Luton than I think it is for Forest. Forest have nothing to lose.
Yeah, but caretaker manager in for the night, having to focus. They're probably going to be fine in the championship, but you know, the player's head's going to be in it. And you know, this is James Ward-Prowse scores 2 goals, and we all once again go, James Ward-Prowse plays for Forest.
Yeah, 2 free kicks.
God, he was good, wasn't he? How'd that happen? So yeah, like maybe it ends up in a cracker because the pressure's
on
off
Monday night as well. He'll probably play, and his form has been a massive fall off for them. I know he's not going to get much game time with Chris Wood there, but he's a good player, and he's going to be running ragged on Luton. I'm starting to regret this decision, I have to say, but you know, you got to try something, catch up with the juggernaut that is Will O'Callaghan.
Who the hell knows what's going to happen? Yeah, like it literally could be anything.
That's what we leave you with. Who the hell knows? That's a, who you got? Who you got? Who cares? Nobody knows anything.
Should rename this. Who the hell knows?
Who cares? Yeah. Okay, that is it. We will be back with you next week. Enjoy the weekend.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.